Good.
Hello, hello.
Hi, everyone.
It seems like people are connecting to the audio. Uh-oh. I hope Zoom's okay. There we go. Bracha's here. Can anyone hear me? Oh, great. Okay, so hi, you guys. My name is Lisa Lorraine Smith. I'm the Chief Program Officer here at the Network, and this is our Working with Orthodox Communities Net Group, which was asked for and developed by members in the network. And it looks like we may have someone new. I don't know if I've ever met Bracha before. Are you new to this Net Group?
Yeah, hi, I'm Bracha Jakubsky. I work at JCFS Chicago. I recently took the position of abuse prevention coordinator and mental health educator. I attend our Orthodox Network meetings with David Rosenberg. However, I found out about this and I thought it would be helpful for the community work that I am doing in Chicago.
Fantastic. Welcome. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to your co-chairs. And I said to them, this was the most... I don't know what's going on with my lighting. Hold on. We had 23 people register, which was one of the largest registrations we've had for this group. So I still think we're going to have more people come in. It seemed like a topic that people were interested in. Let me introduce you to your co-chairs, David Rosenberg, JCFS Chicago, and Deanie Peterson, JFS of Metropolitan Detroit.
Great.
And they will lead our discussion. And we're looking forward to that. So I think Deanie's going to start.
Yes. Thanks, Lisa. Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. So just a quick recap of where we left things off last meeting and setting the stage for today. So last meeting, we were fortunate enough to have Rabbi Avram Adler from JFSA in Cleveland join us. And he had a really interesting experience from starting off and working with an Orthodox specific, more grassroots organization, and then transition to working directly for JFSA in Cleveland as the executive director of their Strengthening Families program. And so he was able to share with us a little bit about his experience and how he thought, you know, JFSs and JFCSs and all the organizations that we represent could work well and in partnership and not competition with the Orthodox organizations within our respective communities. So it was really wonderful to hear from his experience. And when we got off the call, David and Lisa and I said, like, this conversation is not yet over. There's still more to talk about. And it seemed like something that generated a lot of interest, both a couple months ago when we did a survey of this group to say, what are you interested in talking about? And from the people that we heard about last meeting of this topic of collaboration versus competition. When are we driven to do our best work, both in partnership with other organizations and maybe pushing each other to each improve in different areas? And when are we struggling with some pain points? When are we maybe knocking heads a little bit, or finding ourselves potentially territorial? Not that that ever happens in the Jewish communal world, but I think we all know that sometimes it does. And so we felt like there were more stories and experiences to be shared, and we really wanted to set the stage for having them here. And so what we had hoped to do was have individuals share their stories of that may be a success story of somewhere where there was a little conflict and we were able to work it out. That may be a situation in which you're struggling right now. Maybe there's an organization that you want to work well with and you're finding yourself having a hard time and you could benefit from the experience of colleagues in the room. So that's what we would really like to talk today. We'll see. I think there's enough there to probably fill the full time. If not, we have a couple other topics we might touch on at the end. David, I'm going to look to you for a little bit of just like logistics. If we want to discuss, start any of the discussion in the room or immediately switch to breakout rooms.
So we discussed that it'd be a nice thing. Welcome, everybody, and glad that you're all here. Nice to see colleagues from around the country, around the U.S. We discussed having breakout rooms where people could share their experiences, as Deanie said, things that are going well, challenges, any experiences that we've had that can help us be better at working with Orthodox organizations and our communities. I suggest to you that we go right to breakout groups, and when new people come in, we can welcome them and add them. So we've got, I see seven faces here. How about we randomly set up two rooms, and then one will have three, one will have four, and we'll add people as they come in. Does that sound good?
Yes. And so everyone, please, like, we want you to really share these real examples that you have and talk openly with one another. We said, like, we want this to be a space where what is said in the room stays in the room. So we don't have to worry, you know, because we know some of these conversations can be sensitive at times. And then we'll pull everyone back. We'll give you a little warning and process together as a group, or what are some of the things that we've heard, what has been helpful, what can we discuss more as a group, and go from there.
So it would be helpful if one of you in your room, in your group, served as a scribe, just taking some notes down to share whatever people are comfortable to have shared with the group as a whole. So you'll get your assignment in a second, and please accept it. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I hope that you were, I enjoyed what I heard at the group that I was in, and Dini shared good reports for the other one. So let's share with the group as a whole what the themes that came out. If one of you in each of the groups, let's start with group number one. Is that the group with, which group is that?
That had Irene and Ronnie and Carol and okay. Is it Mary? I'm not sure. You tell me how to pronounce your name. Okay.
Mary. So if one of you would like to share the themes that were that people are comfortable having shared from your discussion, and then we'll do the same for group number two. So whoever your scribe or reporter is, please.
I don't know that we had a scribe or a designated reporter, but I'm happy to share some of our themes, which I think a few of us were sharing: the wish and desire that the Orthodox community would come sooner and be referred sooner to JFS services, because we find often that rabbis or the Orthodox community is so used to taking care of themselves. Ronnie actually put it really well, which is great that a rabbi wants to step in and help potentially with discretionary funds, but you know, they may be paying for food where we could have qualified them for a benefit. And it not only helps the client, but potentially helps the congregation, the rabbi, in being more fiscally responsible with the funds they have. Let's first and foremost qualify them for these things that could be a benefit that they don't have to be throwing dollars at, because a social worker has a very different, you know, ability than a rabbi, and we don't expect the rabbi to be well-versed in all of those things. But oftentimes the referrals come 6 months, a year after, when the rabbi finally gets to the point to say, you know, I don't know what to do anymore. So trying to figure out how we facilitate that. And Ronnie talked a lot about it being education, about it being, you know, building those relationships. And that she's found some success. Of course, she's in a very specific role to support the Orthodox community. And then the importance Ronnie also said at the end, which I appreciate, is trying to get an ROI with some of the faith leaders when they do get referred to us, because I think all of us struggle with the idea that sometimes they refer, the client comes to us, we set out a plan or ask them to do something. And if they're not willing, the word that get back to the rabbi might be, JFS wouldn't help me. Right. And we don't have the ability to control that narrative and say, we're trying to help and this individual needs to complete these things. So as much as possible, trying to get the ROI to do that. Those are just a couple things I remember, but anybody else?
What do you mean by an ROI? You mean send something to the rabbi after
you get it? You get it from the client. It's a release of information to have permission to speak to the person who referred them and talk openly about what you're doing for services.
That is a good idea.
Thank you. Group number two, Bracha, Julie, and Marcy.
So we had the discussion about who was going to report out in like the last 45 seconds. So we decided to do it a little bit collaboratively, but I can start if that's okay with everybody. We kind of put things together quickly at the end. So when we were talking about challenges, there were a number of us in the room who worked with abuse issues in one way or another, either child abuse or domestic abuse and dating abuse. And so one of the challenges is just that the sensitive nature of that topic or those topics is hard to talk about and sometimes hard to engage people on. So just the sensitivity of the work that we do and how to bring that conversation to play into places, even with you know, good community partners, and also issues around building trust about how we're going to talk about those issues publicly and making sure everybody's comfortable with that. And then one of the things that I threw in that might be unique for, I don't know if this crosses outside of working in domestic abuse, but getting secular organizations who are working with synagogues to remember us. And if they're doing a presentation, you know, to just remember that there's a Jewish lens and to bring us in. So we focus there. And then toward the end, David asked sort of what's worked so far, you know, in kind of doing, in addressing some of these challenges. So we talked about showing what we'll do, like actually showing that this is what we're going to do, not just sort of trust us, but like, here's what we want, here's the program that we want to bring, or here's the outline or whatever that is so that people can see it. Those ongoing face-to-face relationships and showing a real willingness to listen and to say, how do you talk about these things? Where are you at with it? Instead of just coming in and saying, this is what we're bringing and here's our program and love us or leave us. So I don't know, other people want to fill in? That was sort of, those are the notes I just took at the end, but are there other things?
Thank you. Sounds good.
This is just generating a couple questions for me. Thank you everyone for sharing. I think this is some really wonderful discussion that was happening. Julie, something you talked about raised something that like my own agency is talking about a lot right now, which is, do we have like rabbinical guidance? And I'm curious what people's experience is here. So as we're working with Orthodox partners or even developing relationships and providing education to rabbis and other lay leaders like Ronnie and Carol talked about, we get this question a lot of like, who do you ask your shilas to or your philosophical or Jewish law questions? And we don't have a rabbinical board at JFS Detroit. It's something we've been very cautious about because we don't want to ask for an opinion that we're not going to follow. And we kind of talk about, well, JFS is first and foremost a social work agency guided by social work values with a Jewish lens. But if the legal or ethical thing is, for example, to make a child protective services report, we're going to do that even if a rabbi says not to. So we don't want to put ourselves in a conflict we can't get out of. And we want to be really honest about that. Ronnie, I see your hand raised. I'm so excited to hear what you have to say. I would love to hear how Ronnie and others, if you this is coming up for you, how you navigate it would be great. Ronnie, why don't you start us off?
So, you know, Dina, what you bring up is an interesting point because something that came up in our room was, I think it was Carol who said that they had just hired a rabbi and the rabbi was a female and she's an employee at JFCS Philly. We also have a rabbi who works in a chaplain role. She's an employee. She's not a rabbinical advisory board. She's serving a very specific role. And so for the Orthodox community, like she just doesn't serve a role for our community. So I think like a rabbinic advisory board or a rabbinic presence for an agency versus for a program may be two very different things, and kind of separating those things out is one kind of thing that I had, you know, because like when a religious question comes up for me, I ask my religious guidance, not who the agency would seek as a religious guidance, because we're not on the same page. And honestly, it's really my clients who need to ask their religious guidance and not the agency guidance also. But that being said, something that JFCS Philly did historically, we haven't done it since COVID. It was something I really valued and appreciated, is instead of a rabbinical advisory committee, we had an ethics committee that included on it rabbis from the community, board members, and JFCS staff. And it wasn't meant to get an answer. So there would be a question And the question would be explored at the ethics committee meeting. And it would be explored from a religious standpoint, from a legal standpoint, from a social service standpoint. And it was more about the process than it was about the answer. Nobody came expecting that one person or the room was going to all agree on this is what should be done. But it was a space to be able to talk about, like, what does Judaism have to say about this issue? What is, you know, what do social work ethics have to say about this issue? Are they in alignment? Are they not in alignment? Where is the gray space? And just the space for people to kind of learn and dialogue and create an open and inclusive kind of perspective. And there was no one else Orthodox on the committee, but I learned so much from the Reform Rabbi sitting there. Like it was amazing. So it's an interesting idea.
That is so interesting to see from everyone. Like, I want to hear more. Can you just give an example or two of the type of questions that came before that group?
Sure. So I think the last one we did was, should we accept walk-ins? Like, we have office spaces, but we don't, like, if people just show up without an appointment, we don't take, like, we won't let you in our building. And, like, should that continue? Is that okay? Like, from a safety standpoint, from a religious standpoint, from a, you know, functional, practical standpoint. So just kind of, so that was the last one that we had. There was one, I'm trying to remember. We've had discussions on, like, we have a fertility fund that gives money to couples who are going through IVF, and, like, the criteria, same-sex couple, married, domestic partners, religious, not religious, socioeconomic status, have you had more than, do you already have a child? What, mm-hmm. Is there an age cutoff? So just kind of these dialogues around, like, how do we go about making decisions for our agency that have all of these different factors at play?
Wow, thank you for sharing. That's some food for thought there. And, like, an interesting kind of transparent way to have open discussion about some
kind of way to really bring in community in the conversation.
It seems like it would probably be a lot easier now because telehealth or whatever, Zoom, you can get together a lot easier. I can imagine how hard that might have been to bring people together over specific questions, you know, to talk.
I would say four to six times a year. So it wasn't a regular weekly meeting.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a question about you said that there are board members also on that committee. So I think, you know, I'm just curious how that worked, whether board members felt, any greater sense of entitlement that they be heard, or that the outcome go a certain way, or whether there was some reticence on the part of maybe the executive team who might have been on there to kind of try to go with what the board might want. I mean, I know that's kind of a dynamic in my agency where there's a lot of concern and reticence around, you know, what's the board going to think about this? And it really holds people back in all kinds of ways. So I'm curious about how that worked.
So I think the first piece is creating an expectation. If the expectation is at the end of this hour, there's going to be a decision made, I think power dynamics absolutely come into play. But I think if the expectation is this is a place for you to witness and be a part of kind of the process and, like, have a front row seat to the work that we do, it's a very different, like, you're going to share your voice, but there's no outcome dependent on it. And therefore the power dynamic is kind of gone. Mm. It was also for our board members. Our board members sit on multiple committees, and so it's self-identifying. So the board members that are more interested in these types of social service, religious, ethical spaces are the ones who, you know, volunteer for this committee versus being on a different committee. We found that our board members are very interested in kind of understanding the nitty-gritty of the work that the agency does. And so we've got staff presenting at every board meeting, like a client story or a program, you know, overview, because they want to kind of understand the dynamics of the work that we're doing. So it was just another way to do it. And because they were choosing it and it wasn't like outcome driven, it worked. It worked for us.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that, Ronnie. Are there other thoughts that people have about successes, challenges in working with Orthodox organizations that haven't been brought up in the last 15 minutes?
I think there must be, because you're spending an hour coming here, and I think people are coming here hoping to learn something or hear something from a colleague doing this work that will help inform what you're doing in your agency. So I'm curious, like, what people's challenges are in serving the community.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. So David, this is for you because you're the only man on the screen. And it's something that I raised in our group that I sometimes wonder, and I'm curious if you have a similar experience or a different experience as a man. I found that even with like the rabbis that I have very good relationships with, there's a relational dynamic that is not reciprocal. And I don't know that it will ever be reciprocal. And I wonder if it's because I'm a woman, and I'm not saying Orthodoxy is patriarchal and I'm not saying it's chauvinist, but I recognize that there is a cultural experience of gender separation. And if it was an Orthodox man doing the relationship building rather than an Orthodox woman, would me asking something of a rabbi be reciprocal in the way of a rabbi asking something of me, wherein the way kind of my functionality works now is rabbis feel free to reach out to me, but when I reach out to them, I'm not met with the same openness. And I'm curious, okay, your experience, if they're like, if I were to hire a male Orthodox social worker, whether it would be the same or whether it would be different.
I think that's a very good question. Sorry.
Elementary and middle school.
David is based in school, for those who didn't know.
It's a long message.
Thanks, everyone. Yes, I'm at a school. I have colleagues who have very successful relationships with Orthodox schools, Orthodox rabbis. Sometimes they ask me, could you come to a meeting with me? And I felt that I know from experience that there are Orthodox rabbis who work very well with a variety of colleagues from JCFS, male, female, Jewish, non-Jewish. And what I've sensed is that so it's true that there can be a very big cultural gap between the experience of an Orthodox rabbi, what's expected of them, their public persona, and our agency. Even if I happen to be a rabbi, I'm male. So even in meetings with Orthodox rabbis, I can see how between the Orthodox rabbis there can be a lot of distance sometimes. And in a community as large as Chicago, where there are scores of Orthodox rabbis of different groups, they don't necessarily get along with each other either. So what I've found is the most successful professionals, doesn't not a matter about being male, it's really a matter of of the extent to which we are, I guess we have to approach, I would say, put it this way, we have to approach Orthodox rabbis with all of the gravitas, all of the weight, all of the professionalism and trust that's been in, which, that's been placed upon us. And we come and we say, this is who we are, this is what we do, we can help your community. And I've noticed that when people approach them that way, they are comfortable with working with a very wide variety of people. That's what I've noticed. So I have not always found that Orthodox rabbis are receptive even to other rabbis or men or myself, and nor have I found that they are necessarily unresponsive to colleagues who are not male or not Jewish or not Orthodox. So I think that I agree that it can be very difficult to get the attention of an Orthodox rabbi because they've got many things coming at them. I would also say this, that sometimes it takes a while to figure out what people respond to. Do they respond to, like, a long email I found gets me nowhere. If I send an email which is one sentence long, I'll get more attention than a paragraph. The more I say, the less response I get. Or maybe a text will get someone's attention. So, the one feeling I have is that and it's been raised a couple of times. I don't know if that's helpful, Ronnie, what I just said, but I never feel that a non-Orthodox or non-male or non-Jewish colleague sort of cannot have access to the rabbis. And it could be that you need someone to help make the shidduch, make the connection. But once that's there, I've been struck at how sometimes non-Jewish or non-male colleagues have had real entree because of a trusting relationship. I hope that's helpful.
So I think my question was a little bit more nuanced.
Go ahead.
So I think to be a little bit more specific, so I have great relationships with the rabbis. When something is presented to them that they want support on, is over their heads, they know is something we can do, they will reach out, they will call, they will collaborate, but it's their term, so to speak. They're the ones doing the reach out and they're setting the terms of engagement. If I'm the one initiating the reach out and asking them to engage, it's not met with the same reciprocity. So There's a relationship there. I know that they trust me because they reach out to me. But when, like, the shoe's on the other foot, and I have a client that I'm working with that didn't get referred by them, and I want their assistance, it's not met in the same way because I'm now dictating the terms of engagement rather than them. And I'm wondering if that is a gender dynamic.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's hard to say.
I was just curious, Ronnie. I know this is a bit of a stretch and it might be super uncomfortable and you might just say, no, I don't want to do that. But have you ever tried with one of the rabbis who you actually have the best relationship with to actually just kind of spell that out and say, I noticed.
This is how I feel. I noticed.
Yeah. When you come to me, we work well collaboratively, but in instances where I might come to you, I don't realize the same response rate and the same ability to collaborate. So I'm just noticing that. I'm just wondering if you see the same thing. You may not feel comfortable saying that to a rabbi, but I'm just saying,
they
may not realize it.
I've tried with more than one rabbi, and it's not one rabbi. Like I've noticed the pattern, and there's another Orthodox female social worker who works with me, and it's the same pattern with her. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had a conversation with my own rabbi who I work very closely with, who was part of the way I even got this position. And I don't want to throw him under the bus, but I almost felt gaslit in the conversation. Like, I never meant that, but nothing changed afterwards. And so it felt a little bit like crazy making, but because it wasn't only happening with him, I knew I wasn't the one who was crazy, which is why I wonder if a male Orthodox social worker would have a different experience. And they're obviously a lot harder to come by just based on who's sitting in the room right now. So it's not an experiment I can necessarily engage in. But
I don't know if you guys want to continue to talk about this, do you? Because I had something.
I would share something. And I feel bad that my colleague Bencion Bellin isn't here. He's been in this group before, for those of you who met him, but not the most PC answer that I'm going to give, but probably the most honest answer is that when we were looking to bring someone on to our Leave Detroit program, which is our Orthodox outreach program, we knew very clearly the different experience that a man and woman would have in the role. And like the feminist in me hurts to say that out loud. And I was very, like, we were very realistic about it. And the person we had in the role before, wonderful. I love her. I wish she was still at our agency. She left to be home with her kids. Didn't grow up in our own city. So she like moved here from New York. And so the amount of work she had to do to get in was just totally different than Bencion, who himself would say, I would say this if he were in the room with us, and hopefully he will be next time. He's in Israel right now. Of like, we grew up here, went to all the schools, could catch every rabbi after services at night, has texting relationships with most of the rabbis. Like it was just starting, instead of starting at square one, like he was so many steps ahead. And I think just culturally, the inroads were already there and it was less of an uphill battle. So it wasn't anything that a woman couldn't be successful in the role, because we have had it. And I would hate to even imply that. And it was like a realistic recognition that it was just a different experience for a man to be in the role. It was. And it we wouldn't have, like that was my personal experience. The other thing I wanted to say, Ronnie, in response to what you shared, is I find almost everyone we deal with outside of JFS deals with JFS in a transactional way of like, you guys, you're funded, Federation funds you, whatever that means in each of our communities. You have money. Why are you coming to us? You should be solving our problem. So I don't find that as an Orthodox experience. I mean, I do find it as, but not an exclusively Orthodox experience of like any rabbi or any other agency is like, shouldn't you be the one solving the problem? Like you have the funds, you have the therapists, you have XYZ resources. I should come to you when I need something from you. You shouldn't come to me. So I think like maybe the nuance of how we deal with it is different in every community and every setting. But I don't know, that feels like that's a universal thing that comes up all the time. And I'm seeing some head nods, so maybe I'm not the only one.
One thing that I think that can be helpful is to the extent to which we engage Orthodox rabbis, we seek their input, their wisdom, their teaching, their Ronnie described that the rabbinic group that you meet with four or six times a year. And in Chicago, we've often asked rabbis to come to us to help us understand Orthodox communities better. So I feel like when our new CEO came in, she met with a wide variety of Orthodox rabbinic leaders to let them know that our agency is here to help, to work with our community, to support their families. So all of those kinds of connections, I think, are remembered and pay off down the road, as frustrating as it can be to get the attention and to get a response. I don't mean to excuse any kind of male, any kind of sense of male or rabbinic whatever, specialness or exclusivity. Okay, I think that, Dini, maybe it's a good idea for us to look forward and talk about how things are coming up next, unless there are other questions on this general topic. So,
well, I just wanted to say that when I was at JFS of Greenwich and we had a Chabad there, and I got along very well with the Chabad rabbi, but he would only send me people who were so far gone. Like, you know, he worked with everyone else, but the ones who were so, he couldn't deal with them. He didn't know what to do with them. They needed so much. That's who they would always send me. And I just thought it was so interesting. Like, why can't we get everyone, right, that needs help? We only get the ones who they just couldn't do anything with. And we couldn't really do that much with them because they needed so much, right? So anyway, I don't know if that is true with other agencies, but it was true with mine.
When I was in group one, it sounded like there was a lot of similar discussion and the talk about like having education and communication about the impact of our services and how they could be differently effective if we were intervening earlier.
Brought in the beginning.
Exactly, right. In line with what you're saying, Lisa.
Right. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So looking forward, so a couple of things I want to mention. So in our next two meetings, we're looking at a couple topics that, again, we have talked about here. One of them I heard like inklings of in today's conversation about financial assistance. And we really want to look at like what financial assistance looks like differently for the Orthodox community and what kind of cultural exceptions or different, if we have different exceptions, what that might look like and how that feels in our agencies. We're also looking at bringing potentially Rabbi Penner in. For those who know Rabbi Penner, he's a rabbi at YU and talks very openly about his relationship with his son who is gay and how he and the Orthodox community kind of manages that. So we're hoping to bring him on. We don't have those dates set yet. Also wanted to share that David and I are going to be bringing a panel to the upcoming network conference in Dallas. We're really excited about it. We hope that some of you may be there and that we're hoping to represent some of these conversations that we had today and in other meetings in a full-on session, a panel discussion about how kind of the challenges and the successes and in working more successfully with our Orthodox community. So those are all things coming up. If anyone has input or questions on those, please reach out to David or Lisa or myself. The last thing I just wanted to kind of gauge interest in talking about is last month, some of you may know, there was a Nefesh conference. So quick show of hands, who's familiar with Nefesh here before? So we've got some and some. Okay, so let me do a quick background. So Nefesh is an organization that focuses on supporting Orthodox mental health professionals. And they have an email list and there's a lot of resource sharing. They had a really big, very successful conference last month that actually my colleague Ben Sion, who now is getting many shout outs in this meeting that he went to. There was just a discussion of like, oh, is there a relationship between NGHSA and Nefesh, and should there be? I'll share personally. So at my organization recently, we made the decision to pay for Nefesh memberships for all of our Orthodox staff who were interested. And so it gave them access to more resources and trainings and collaboration with other Orthodox staff across agencies and in private practice and all different sorts of settings, as well as, like I said, my colleague going to the conference. And I just wanted to like see if there was interest in people here exploring that path or if finding that beneficial in any way. So just kind of throwing that out to the group.
And are you specifically saying they're supporting people who identify as Orthodox?
Yes, great
not
question.
Not the clients who identify as Orthodox with mental health
right. issues,
but inwardly towards the staff.
Yes. So differently than this group that is like, anyone is welcome. And we're talking about serving the Orthodox community. Nefesh is specifically serving mental health professionals who are Orthodox, but many of whom who are engaged, I would say primarily serve the Orthodox community as well.
Oh, their trainings not just are for open. Orthodox staff,
the,
but for
the staff Orthodox are, and not. The staff are Orthodox, like the professionals who they support are Orthodox themselves. Their trainings, I believe, are open. Like when I'm like, this just looks like it's a good training and I've shared it with colleagues go. And Bracha, your hand is raised, so I'm going to let you go.
Actually a board member for Nefesh Chicago, so plug for that. I actually do not have a membership to Nefesh International. However, I'm going to ask them about that. If there's any upcoming trainings that are virtual that can be shared with people, I will share them. David, I will share them with you. And you can pass them out because we have multiple connections with each other. So I can share that. We have some upcoming trainings. Some are in person, some are not. So if anyone's interested in coming to in person, that's a little different. So let David know and I could share that information too. We don't have actual dates yet, but one of the Nefesh International conference trainings was on divorce, and I don't remember the whole thing. And they're hoping to bring that because I think it was Menachem from Detroit, Jeannie. So they're hoping to bring him in to Chicago to actually do that training in person. So that's exciting.
That is. Mm-hmm. Very good. So David, if you know of any virtual trainings, you'll let me know. I'll let the
group
know. Yeah, terrific.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, Lisa, like I'm just thinking out loud, so there's no promises here. Like, for example, when we signed up, because we signed up many Orthodox staff and interns from our agency, they gave us a discount. And I wonder if there could be like even a relationship for like if you're an NJHSA.
Absolutely. I wrote it down. We're going to look into it ASAP. Yeah. I wrote it privately. Who am I connecting with? Give me a name.
Maybe there can be some reciprocity there. Terrific. Okay.
Right. Wonderful. Cool.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone.
Together we are better.
Yes. Yeah. I really appreciate people sharing their own experiences. I know, like, okay, I'll acknowledge I take up space in this meeting, but I think hearing from all of you in the breakout rooms and then in this bigger room has been really helpful to hear. And then Lisa will email out before the next dates what the topic will be once we finalize those. So thanks.
Absolutely. I just want to name every time this group meets, I'm kind of like, should I go? Should I not go? Right? Like, I'm not exclusively working with the Orthodox community. And then I get here and I learn something. So thank you all for sharing. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Carol, for joining. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Yes, thank you.
Dean. Okay.